Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met yet, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This fall, you'll hear a combo of educator interviews and quick solo episodes where I share some favorite tips and ideas, including a few from my new book, EdTech Essentials. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today with the show notes and all the resources mentioned in this episode. This episode is sponsored by my Easy EdTech Club. It's for tech-friendly teachers and coaches who want quick ideas to save time and use digital tools with intention. The Easy EdTech Club is a monthly membership designed to help educators, like you, dive into one EdTech topic each month and get access to exclusive resources. Doors open up to new members in 2022, so make sure to grab a spot on the wait list. Head to classtechtips.com/club. This week's podcast episode is titled 13 Ways to Use Emojis That Might Surprise You, and I'm excited to share a few favorite strategies with you today. Emojis might seem silly on the surface, but they definitely pack a punch. In my own daily life, emojis come into play a lot, from adding a shrug shoulder emoji to a text message when I don't have the answer, to including stars and sparkles on social media posts. I use a lot of emojis over the course of a day. But instead of talking about the history or origin of emojis in today's episode, I want to give you a handful of ways to use emojis that might surprise you. These ideas go beyond the popular or common ways we use emojis, like text message comments and social media posts, and connect to lesson ideas and routines you might already have in your classroom. If you're listening in the car, on a walk, or somewhere where it's tough to jot down the list of ways, don't worry. To see the full list from today, just head over to the show notes, which you can find on the blog, of course, but also right here on the podcast app's description area. Just a quick tip, I sometimes listen to podcasts on the go, and then I bookmark or email the show notes links so I don't forget to go back to it later. So if you wanted to do that, you would just click on the show notes link in the description on your phone or podcast player. It would open up the blog post for today, and you can just email yourself that or copy and paste it or save it to your Google Keep or whatever your go-to workflow is if you hear something good on a podcast, but you don't have a lot of time to jot things down. Let's go ahead and dive into this list of 13 ways to use emojis that might surprise you. First up is bullets on anchor charts. If you are making anchor charts in your classroom, try using emojis instead of a traditional bulleted list. You can list out the same information you normally would on chart paper and use emojis that go along with the topic. For example, as a classroom teacher, I used to make lots of reference materials on chart paper for students, including ones to support student writers. You can print out emojis, making them larger so a few fill the page, or you can draw emojis on your chart paper. For an anchor chart with student writers, I might use the pencil emoji or a laptop emoji instead of normal bullets with a list of reminders or things for them to remember. Number two is share your feelings. Another different way to use emojis is to have students choose an emoji that describes their feelings. You can organize this activity a few different ways. For example, you might give students a selection of emojis to choose from each day and give them an opportunity to record their voice or write about their feelings. Or you might use a tool with students like emojifinder.com, where they can type in keywords and see different emojis that connect to their feelings. This might be something that they just share with you, or it might be something that they talk about with their classmates if they're talking about their kind of day they're having. So number one on our list is to use bullets, anchor charts, so use your emojis that way. Number two is to share your feelings with emojis. And number three are rating experiences. We might be used to giving a 5-star rating on an Amazon product or an Uber ride, but students can rate experiences using emojis as well. Whether it is a star emoji, the fire flame emoji, or another favorite, they can rate how much they enjoyed a class read aloud, the outcome of a science experiment, a field trip, or any other experience. This provides an opportunity for students to talk about their reasoning and might even connect to some of your persuasive writing or speaking and listening goals. Number four on our list is labeling folders. If you downloaded my free guide from earlier this year with spring cleaning tips for Google Drive, then this emoji tip might not surprise you. And a side note, if you don't have my spring cleaning tips for Google Drive, I'll include a link for it in the show notes as well. You can add emojis to your folders in Google Drive and Dropbox and OneDrive if you're a Microsoft user, or any place where you are adding a new title to a folder. Now, this is something you probably don't want to go overboard on. I know that in my Google Drive, for example, I use emojis for just a handful of core folders that I use regularly. This way, I get a quick reminder of what that folder does, whether it's a folder where I keep blog posts, drafts, or a folder where I organize materials for my membership site, the Easy Ed Tech Club, or even a folder full of podcast files or podcast episodes like this one. Having that extra emoji as a visual cue might be helpful. This way to use emojis is one that might be just for you, or it might be one that you introduce with your students for any of their study and organizational skills. Number five on our list of 13 is peer feedback. If you've ever sent a text message to a family member or a friend and you want to make sure your tone is communicated effectively, you might have added an emoji to the end of your sentence. This can be a way to let someone know that you are sharing this message with a smile or with a lighthearted tone. You might encourage students to add emojis, just one or two, to any comments or feedback they give to their classmates. They could use an emoji keyboard built into their device or even a tool like emojifinder.com to find the perfect emoji to add a little bit of a lighthearted tone to their comment. So you might encourage students to add emojis, just one or two, to any comments or on the feedback that they give to their classmates. And they can use that emoji keyboard that I mentioned, emojifinder.com, and add their comment, add that emoji, like copy and paste it before hitting send on that Google Doc. Now, emojifinder.com is not the only one. You could use emojicopy.com, or you could even make a class document with approved, and I'm doing air quotes there, with approved emojis that you encourage students to use. Maybe it's kind of a smaller list than the overwhelming number of emojis that are on a traditional emoji keyboard, and then they can just copy and paste whenever they want to use them. So number three on our list here was rating experiences. Number four was labeling your folders. Number five is peer feedback. And we are almost halfway through with number six, which is organizing information for students. So in the same way that you might use emojis on an anchor chart to create a bulleted list, students can organize information using emojis too. For example, you might use emojis as part of the headers for different categories of information as they conduct research, or they might use emojis alongside their comments in the margins of the text as they read. This is a great way for them to keep things organized. So if they are, say, doing an animal research project, they might use a emoji to put things in the category of what their animal eats, or they might use a different emoji to put things in the category of where they live. So you can get a little creative with this and model it for students too. Number 7 on our list of 13 ways to use emojis that might surprise you is to retell a story. If you've ever included an emoji in a text message, it might go along with a silly or funny story you're telling a friend. Students can retell stories or short excerpts of text using emojis as part of their retell. You might ask them to choose one emoji that goes with the first, then, next, finally sequence of a story. This might even be an opportunity for students to play a guessing game with their classmates if they're creating a retell with emojis that connect to a story they've written themselves or a story that they are reading on their own independently. Number 8 on our list is supporting vocabulary instruction. Now, not every word has the perfect emoji to go along with it, and you've probably been in that situation where you've sent a text message to someone and you've thought to yourself, isn't there a fill-in-the-blank emoji? And sometimes you have to get creative, or you just say, I'm going to skip it because there's no emoji that goes along with what I'm trying to say here. If you're helping students unpack new vocabulary words, you might ask them to find emojis or combinations of emojis that bring new words to life. This type of activity asks students to think about synonyms of words as a search to find emojis that go along with a new vocabulary list. I recently wrote an article for EdSurge all about the idea of keyword searches, and I'll link to it here in the show notes. So something like this might be useful to take a look at if you are having students search for words that go along with emojis. Just like they might need to switch up the keyword if they're searching for a picture for a project, the same kind of critical thinking skills are necessary as they're pondering what other words they could use to find that perfect emoji. Number 9 on our list is giving students directions. In the same way that we might recognize a logo of a company before we realize or process their corresponding social media post, emojis are visual cues for students. If you are posting directions for a task like a do now or exit slip on an interactive board in your classroom or as a post in a learning management system or a space like Flipgrid or Seesaw, adding emojis can help break up the information and provide a visual cue for any directions that you give. Number 10 on our list is to add to infographics. So you can add emojis to infographics you and your students might create. I've shared some of my favorite infographic creation tools on the blog in the past, including using Adobe Spark Posts to create infographics with students. So you can have students use emojis as the icons that go along with the information they share on an infographic. This is a great quick way to get them introduced to the emoji keyboard and connect visuals to any research they do themselves or data they want to represent in an infographic. Using emojis this way is also a strategy for keeping students off of larger search engines, where you might want to save conversations for appropriate use of images or safe searches for another time of year or a different type of activity. Not to say it's not important, it just might not be the time you're teaching it, and emojis might be a great way to get around that. So far on our list, we've hit 10 of these, and I want to remind you that you can find the full list, especially if you're on the go today, on my podcast show notes page. So you'll just click wherever you're listening to this podcast to the show notes. It'll take you out to a special page on my blog, so right at classtechtips.com, and that's where you'll find the full list and some more links and extra resources. So number 11, as we jump right back in, is to summarize an event. Similar to retelling a story, you might ask students to choose a selection of emojis that summarizes an event. This type of activity might happen in a social studies classroom, looking at a historical event, or could be part of a response to reading a current event news article together. You might give students some constraints for this activity, like only choosing 5 emojis or having one emoji that connects to the tone of the event and another emoji that connects to the geography of a place. So totally up to you how you would set this up. Number 12 on our list is to represent patterns. If you're listening to this in December, when this podcast episode goes live, you might be celebrating the Hour of Code or participating in some computer science activities related to monthly festivities around coding. But no matter the time of year, emojis are a great option for having students represent patterns. This could be part of a coding course or an opportunity for students to annotate the patterns in poetry. Of course, noticing patterns or creating patterns is part of a math curriculum, especially at an elementary level. We know that patterns happen in lots of different places, and you might decide to make an emoji connection if you're teaching patterns specifically to a group, standards aligned with the math piece or with a coding connection. So if you're working with a group this school year, emojis are a great way for creating patterns. Now, we're coming to the end of this list, number 13 already, and this is one of my kind of favorite ones, but it's honestly a little hard to choose. So number 13 is annotating a passage. Your students might be familiar with using color coding to annotate a passage, whether they have physical highlighters in their hand or have access to a few colorful digital tools. You might also introduce the idea of annotating a passage by adding emojis next to text. This could include emojis that show a particularly descriptive sentence in an excerpt from a novel, or it might show a line in an article that causes students to pause or ask a follow-up question. You might give students a lot of flexibility here for annotating with emojis, or model for them how to use just a selection of emojis as part of a regular annotation routine, such as just pulling out one type of emoji when they are noticing that something makes them wonder and they have that little questioning emoji. So maybe only giving them a couple to choose from to get started and then opening up to the wider keyboard. Now, there are lots of creative ways to use emojis, and I truly hope that this list of 13 will help you get started. If there are ways that you use emojis that you think might surprise someone else, make sure to share it on social media and tag me at Class Tech Tips, or you might even take a screenshot of this podcast episode as you're listening, add it to your Instagram stories, or tweet it out with your favorite tip of mine, or one from your own that you want to make sure other people know about. So if you found something today that you think might surprise a few other people, or you've got one of your own, make sure to share it. So let's finish this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, add emojis to a routine, like a peer feedback routine. Next, try adding emojis as labels to your folders in Dropbox, OneNote, or Google Drive. Then model for students how to annotate with emojis. Let them see you think aloud and pick which emoji is your favorite or the best one for that situation. And finally, share an emoji idea with a colleague. Let them know something that might surprise them too. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools I mentioned today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode. A quick reminder, today's episode is sponsored by my Easy EdTech Club, a monthly membership designed to help educators like you dive into one EdTech topic each month and get access to exclusive resources. Doors open up to new members in 2022, so if you'd like to join the hundreds of educators in the group already, make sure to grab a spot on the wait list. Head to classtechtips.com/club to be the first to know when doors open. Did you like today's episode? Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you think a friend or colleague would enjoy the tips from today, send them a text with the link to today's episode. And if you share on social media, don't forget to tag me at Class Tech Tips. I just might have something special for you. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.